Welcome to today's episode of the Road to Medical Sales Podcast. My name is Scott Macon, and if you have not already done so, press that subscribe button so that you will never miss another episode again. Today, we are talking to Ed Cunha, the Southwestern Regional Manager for Boston Scientific. For all of you that don't know, Boston Scientific is one of the biggest medical device companies in the world. According to multiple sources, it is currently in the top 15 in the world as far as annual revenue is concerned. The company generated sales of roughly $10.7 billion in 2019. Being a regional manager, Ed covers New Mexico, Colorado, Arizona, and California. He has won Regional Manager and Region of the Year 3 times. Before he was Regional Manager, Ed was a rep winning President's Club 2 times and Rep of the Year 1 time. I wanted to bring Ed on this episode because he was my fiance's Regional Manager when she worked at Boston Scientific, and Sarah has always spoke so highly of him. We are also going to be mixing it up a bit. I figured who would be better suited to talk to Ed than Sarah herself. Sarah, welcome to this podcast.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
No problem.
You know, I'm super excited to interview Ed. I've always looked up to him. He's one of the best regional managers I've ever had. He was the one that brought me into this amazing industry. So that being said, how's it going, Ed?
Hey, great, great. Thank you so much for a really nice introduction. I want to congratulate you and Scott on this cool podcast that you've started. I'm very flattered that you invited me to be a part of the program.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been kind of on Scott to get you on here for a while now, so I'm glad we're finally getting the chance to do it.
Before we get started, I want to congratulate you and Scott on your recent engagement also.
Oh,
it's very exciting.
Thank you very much. It'll be a fun wedding for sure. But anyway, so I really just want to dive right into it. We're in the midst of the coronavirus, so I'm sure it's been a really challenging year for you and your team with the hospital shutting down elective cases. So I'm just curious, how has your team adapted during this difficult time?
Well, Sarah, if you had asked me this question last week, I would have given you an entirely different answer. You know, every week it's different adapting to the situation. I think early on, everybody was adapting to life at home and the stay-at-home orders. But now the economy is opening up, society is opening up, and I think that we are faced with the challenge of staying healthy and not becoming ill. This last week, it became very eye-opening for me, the implications of somebody in our profession becoming ill with COVID. Let's say somebody from our family comes home and they have the virus and we don't get the virus, but we just get exposed to them. We have to quarantine for 14 days. And I know that you are a part of this business, Sarah, and you know how demanding it is keeping up with a caseload and covering every single case that there is. It's pretty much mandatory that we do that. So just imagine if 2 or 3 people on my team maybe not become ill, but they become exposed to somebody and they have to quarantine. The thoughts of something like that happening and handling all the business and the procedures is really daunting. My team is trying to stay healthy and they're trying to practice safe distancing and trying to be responsible while working in a sterile environment in the hospital.
Yeah, absolutely. I can definitely relate. And some of those guys on your team, them being responsible is a little scary.
I know that it's a challenge for some more than others.
No kidding. I want to talk a little bit about yourself. So you made the transition from the Peace Corps to pharmaceutical sales. And then you went from pharmaceutical sales into med device sales. Sometimes that's a really tough transition to make. So just give me a little bit of background, you know, how you eventually broke into the industry and then how you kind of graduated to the med device.
When I left the Peace Corps, I really didn't have very much experience from a sales standpoint. I had a history degree. When I was in the Peace Corps, I worked with kids, young kids that had dropped out of school that were at risk of getting into trouble, and forming organizations for them to keep them out of trouble. I left the Peace Corps and I tried to figure out what I wanted to do for a living. And most of my family was in business and sales. So I thought that I should probably pursue that. I wanted to get into pharma sales. And I sent out 250 resumes to different pharmaceutical companies in the U.S. And I got a whole bunch of rejection letters. And so it was a very rough time for me because I think I was unemployed for about 4 or 5 months.
Oh, wow.
it got to a point where I just had to find a sales job, and maybe I was being too picky about trying to break into pharma sales. So I started just going on job interviews for sales positions, and I started getting better and better at interviewing, and it got to a point where I was getting offers all the time, but not necessarily with the company that I wanted to work for. But took a job with Pitney Bowes, and Pitney Bowes, I was with them for a couple of months. I went through their sales training, and it was excellent sales training. And then while I was with Pitney Bowes, I got a phone call from the Upjohn Company, which is a very well-renowned pharmaceutical company, and they gave me the opportunity to interview. I think that the experience that I got interviewing with all those non-pharma companies, plus the experience of getting the sales training at Pitney Bowes, I think that if I hadn't had those experiences, I don't think I would have gotten, I wouldn't have performed as well in the interview process with the Upjohn Company. But I was really lucky to get that job. My first boss is a lady named Jeannie Mott. I think she currently works for J&J Ophthalmology as a surgical manager. So look up Jeannie Mott on LinkedIn and connect with her. She's an outstanding lady, and she's one of the hardest working, most amazing managers I've ever been exposed to in my career.
I can say the same about you, to be honest.
Thanks, Sarah. I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. I can't have you on this podcast without diving headfirst into what you sell.
Oh, okay. This is a very interesting topic to talk about. So, hey, I sell penile implants, and I also sell something called the artificial sphincter. When you tell someone that you sell penile implants, I think some people have never heard it before, and they, you know, I think they think it's funny, and they start making jokes. And it's very common, whether you're in the OR or whether you're just at a cocktail party, that people might say, oh, it sounds like a really hard job, or the business is stiff, or business is going up, you know, something like that. So I'm accustomed to the humor that comes with telling someone what I do for a living.
Right.
But the reality is, it's a very serious job, and you're helping people with problems that very significantly affect their emotional side and their psychiatric side. Their relationships are severely impacted by erectile dysfunction. A lot of people, their marriages and relationships end because of it. So it's really something where the patients are severely affected, and it's motivating to be selling this product.
Absolutely. I mean, I definitely miss saying that I sold penile implants. You know, what I do now isn't nearly as fun to say, but seeing those lives transform back to what they had before was really something special to be a part of.
Now we're so much a part of the educational process. And I know you experienced that.
Right.
Where we sit down with patients and we teach them about, you know, the different options, what the disease state's all about, you know, background on the disease state and the cause of it. I just think that side of it is so motivating. When I started in the business, it was just covering cases and selling.
Right.
But it really is motivating to be connected with the patient and helping them.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it just goes to show, not all med device sales are the same. There's many different aspects of the job that you're going to have to be comfortable with. And further providing that service to the physician is so important.
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember when we won Region of the Year in 2017. That was so much fun. But I'm curious, in your opinion, what do you think made that big win possible?
I will always attribute all my wins to the people on the team, because that's where it all happens. And the regional manager's job can be very easy if you have great people. And I think that in that particular year, we had a couple of territories where there was transition, and I brought in new people. And those territories, I think, they weren't poorly performing, but there was a lot of potential there that was not being realized. One of those territories was the Phoenix territory, and you were in that one. The other was San Diego. But the people that came into those underperforming territories and really just put it through the roof, I mean, that was like the critical part of it. But then, you know, the rest of the team performed well also. You know, everybody did their job, and then we really put it through the roof in some areas where we needed it. I would say that that's probably a big component of it, but I think that in general, my team rallies around a common goal. You know, we all really want to be the best team. We all want to be number one. And I think that if you don't have the goal at the start, if you're just going into it without that goal, I think the likelihood of achieving is very low.
That comes with good leadership. So kudos to you for that.
Thank you, Sarah. I appreciate that.
Anytime. So in your eyes, are there certain characteristics that you believe the high performers possess in the medical sales industry?
high performers tend to continue to be high performers. I think the people that win, they're kind of wired that way. My old boss says winners win. I used to call it something else. I would say behaviors repeat themselves. And so the people that win, they continue the behaviors that they did that caused them to win. And so they win again and again. It's obviously tremendous drive. People just, they have the will to win. They sacrifice a lot of their personal lives to put it toward their job and achieving in their profession. I think that people that are consistent high performers have really good attitudes. I think they themselves are leaders. I think the essence of sales is getting someone to do what you want them to do. And that's what a leader is. Leaders get people to do what they want them to do. So I would say positive attitude, strong leadership, and tremendous drive are a few of the characteristics.
That's awesome. So I've always thought that you were a true leader, and you're not my manager anymore. So you know that, you know, I truly mean that when I tell you that right now.
You can always come back, Sarah. Okay, we'll make room for you on this team.
I'll let you know. You never know. You were a true leader. And while I was at Boston Scientific, I personally saw you overcome some of the toughest hurdles as a regional manager. You know, I still talk to some of my old teammates that are still there, and you're still overcoming those hurdles. So what are some of the biggest hurdles that you've had to overcome? And more importantly, what did you learn from all of it?
I'm going to answer this question more broadly and not specifically. Like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I had one of the toughest weeks I've ever had in my life from the standpoint of all the challenges coming at me. And I think that you worked for me for how long?
2 years.
2 years. Okay. So you got a 2-year window of my 25-year career in sales. So, and I think you saw me encounter some tough challenges. That's the way it always is. There's always challenges, and there's always stuff that you never in a million years could have expected. I think that the foolish mistake that some people make is that when they're in their job for a certain amount of time, that they can think that, hey, that there's nothing they haven't seen that they can't handle. But that's not the case. And I think that you're really setting yourself up for a failure if you start to become a little too arrogant. So I think that you have to remain humble. And I think that when challenges come your way, you have to fight through them, and you have to not quit, and you have to want the best outcome for everybody involved. And eventually the problem passes you and you get through it. And hopefully that next hurdle is not close, and that you have a little space before your next problem hits.
Yeah. A lot of our listeners are trying to break into the medical sales field, and a lot of them don't have sales experience. So I hate to ask you about myself, but you had 2 interviews with me before you hired me. I had no sales experience taking that situation. Is there anything that stood out to you?
I mean, you were a candidate among probably like 5 or 6 people, and I think you were the only person that did not have sales experience. When I evaluate salespeople, one of the first things I do is I look at people from a stacked ranking. I love people that have a history of strong performance in a stacked ranking, mainly because of what I mentioned earlier, because I think history repeats itself. Behaviors repeat themselves. And the people that win, they continue winning. So if you can hire somebody that can prove to you that they've done well in a stacked ranking, that makes my job really easy from a hiring standpoint. But the other things that I look for attitude, and I look for people, you know, that just have a leadership presence. You had a very tenacious character to you in the interview process. I mean, that tenacity really came across. And I know your athletic background, that probably contributed to that tenacity. But it wasn't some people who are tenacious are just like really mean people. You are good tenacious, right? You have a really positive energy to you. That came across. You were very well prepared for the interviews, and you just answered the questions very well. But have you ever heard of something called the it factor, Sarah?
I have.
The it factor is what I've heard a lot of managers, I did not coin that. A lot of managers and recruiters will say, oh, this candidate has, they got the it factor. Go find somebody that's got the it factor. I wish there were a better name for it. I haven't thought of a better name for it, but the it factor is something very special about somebody. You know, it just makes them a winner. Everything they touch turns to gold. So you had that it factor, and we knew that we had hired the right person the moment we brought you on.
Wow. I didn't realize that, you know, that was your perception of me, and I appreciate it. Maybe I would have worked a little harder knowing that, you know, when I was there.
I should have told you earlier.
Just kidding. I have to ask this as well. I'm really curious about, you know, a funny story from working at Boston. Given the sales focus, I'm sure that our listeners would get a kick out of some of the stories that you have.
There's a lot of funny stories, but one that comes to mind, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, that we have a really big hand in educating patients on erectile dysfunction and treatment options. And sometimes we'll sit with them for, you know, 45 minutes and just answer all their questions and go through slides and that sort of thing, helping them to understand whether they're going to choose, whether it be a penile implant or something else. There was a lady on my team who had just gone through this process with a patient, and then they ended up getting a follow-up phone call from this patient. And the patient said to the sales representative, "Hey, I've scheduled my procedure and it's on this date. And would it be okay if I tried out the implant on you after I'm implanted?"
You know, Ed, I'm sure it wasn't as funny when it happened, but I'm sure that specific sales rep, looking back on it after a couple years, they might be able to laugh about it now.
It will become funnier the further away that person gets from that experience, I think.
All right, maybe we'll talk 5 years down the road then. Thanks a lot. Wow.
I have a feeling you know this person.
I know that person very well. So kind of wrapping all this up, do you have any parting words for our listeners, maybe geared towards those that are trying to break into the medical sales industry in total?
Yeah, I think that the most important advice that I can give is to stay on a path that's going to get you there, right? It's really hard to go from a non-sales job into a medical sales job. It's not impossible. You're an example of that. But I think that people that interview folks that don't have the experience, I think they're impressed when somebody's taking the steps to get there. So if you're currently not in sales, I would get into a sales position. If you currently haven't had exposure to the medical industry or medical background, maybe you can get a volunteer job at a hospital or something, or try to gain exposure to the medical profession. There was a guy that I spoke with a couple months ago. He was having a hard time breaking in. He went to an interview and he didn't get the job. And he pretty much asked the guy, "Well, how come I didn't get it?" And he said it was because mainly you were up against people that had experience. So the guy that was applying for the job said, "Hey, well, what would you advise me to do to help have a better showing or have a different result?" The manager gave that applicant some advice. And the guy said, "Well, can I call you every once in a while and just let you know how I'm doing on gaining this experience?" And the manager agreed. So the guy went and got a sales job and he started putting together a track history, a really strong performance history. And 2 years later, he ended up interviewing with the same guy and got the position. So it's good to get advice from people and follow their advice and stay on the path that is going to eventually get you there.
That's awesome. It's just like the sales process, right? Whether you're trying to convert a surgeon or you're just going after that job, taking those steps, the follow-up, going that extra step and finding out who are the influencers of the hiring manager. So I think that's a great story and it's all really important.
Yep, exactly. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I know Scott's very appreciative. I'm very appreciative. You are the reason how and why I broke into this industry. You've opened up not only my future, but now put me in a position so I can be that family member, help other family members. And you are just one of the most genuine, hardworking people I've ever met. I'm so appreciative for you.
Hey, thanks. I really appreciate it. That's really kind of you to say that. I like the fact that your program focused on the winning accolades and the achievement accolades. One of the things that I really get so much satisfaction out of just in professional life is helping people to get to where they want to be. And you're definitely a part of that. And seeing you join us and doing as well as you did, and now you're off to something else, doing really well at that, that's really gratifying to me. So I really appreciate your words.
Well, I appreciate it. I still feel bad for leaving, so that makes me feel a little bit better. That was a tough conversation. But I've never cried in front of a manager until that point. So you know what? Kudos to you.
Oh, my gosh. Thanks again for having me on, you guys. I've really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Thanks, Ed. Thanks, Sarah. This was a lot of fun. All right, guys. Be on the lookout for the next episode. I'm going to depart, like I will after every episode, with a sincere thank you for tuning in and a little food for thought to carry along with you for the rest of the day. The author of Simply Brilliant once said, "Real leaders are happy to zig while others zag. They understand that in an era of hyper-competition and nonstop disruption, the only way to stand out from the crowd is to stand for something special."